as we get into this study tonight. I'm thankful how God has brought us through so faithfully the homegoing of Brother Hill. And I'm grateful to God to have a Bible teacher and a pastor all those years to my life. And I'm thankful to the Lord that God anointed a vessel to point us to Paul's gospel. And I have to tell you, it wasn't anything that I had thought out or decided to do or anything of those things. But yes, we did study Revelation for a time. And by God's grace, if the Lord tarry, I'm confident we'll be back there. But I thank the Lord that we have went through and continue to go through Paul's epistles. And God willing, we'll finish up here tonight with Titus. The Lord has it on my heart that we'll be in Philemon next. And if the Lord tarry, we'll go back and begin Romans. So, again, that's what he's placed on my heart, and I ask you just to pray. But what wonderful company to be in when we're being ministered by the Holy Ghost, Paul's gospel. So let's open our Bibles tonight, and we're going to go to the third chapter of Titus. And yes, we've come to the conclusion of this precious, precious letter, this magnificent Holy Ghost empowered letter of love to Titus, commending Titus just as he did with Timothy and just as he's doing with us. It's all by the grace of God. Grow in grace, amen, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we'll pick it up in verse 9 tonight in chapter 3. But avoid foolish questions. That word question there means foolish seekings or foolish debate. You don't need to drop your head. The Lord encourage you. And avoid foolish genealogies. We can think of that today as denominations, sects, S-E-C-T-S, how we, Paul had to deal with that in certain ways, of I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas. God help us to avoid those foolish things. And contentions and strivings about the law, the do's and don'ts, the accountability. What a waste of time. Appreciated Sunday night with Justin so much when he made a comment on that. For they are unprofitable and vain. Let's go ahead and stop there. Now this verse 9, it begins and gives almost the same exact wording as Paul's letter to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:23 about avoiding foolish questions. Now, brothers and sisters, there's a reason for this. It's because it's our nature to do it. Don't think we're above these things. These are the things that our flesh desires to do often. This is not just for the ones that were in Crete. This wasn't just for the heretics back then. This is our old man. And our old man will be easily distracted if we're not led of the Spirit. And you know it, and I know it, because, welcome, we're in this flesh. And we know that this flesh can be puffed up so easily. I think one of the challenges that we have so much as we grow in this precious message of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and this glorious gospel of the glory is the enemy will challenge us about being puffed up, about a knowledge being something of us or of our head as opposed to the knowledge of the love of Christ for me. Oftentimes we hear of different ones, and I remember Brother Hill speaking of this so much, and I thank God how the Lord prepared my heart in many ways, but you'll hear different ones. Well, and we can think this of ourselves. Well, I'm going to search the Scriptures to find something new. I'm going to find a new truth. I'm going to discover something that no one else has seen. And I'm here to profess and give thanks to God for all the truth has been preached. And I pray you know it. I'm thankful to God. That doesn't mean you close up your Bible and you don't come to church. That'd be foolishness. We know that we come here because of that truth is so deep that God gives us light upon light. It becomes more real. It becomes larger and more evident, praise God, and I hope by grace, in our lives. But the Lord has made his truth known through Paul's gospel. And we know that in the gospel of Christ that God is not a respecter of persons, so that he that wills to know will know of the gospel of Christ, and praise be to God, that's the gospel of grace and glory. Now we know, and it is evident, that some take it in more than others, but know this, and I was so thankful to God reading this again just the other day and been meditating on it for some time, and I don't know what the Lord's doing in my heart with it, but as Christ said, it's of my Father to give. You know that? It's of my Father to give. And I love how that follows so sweetly all of the Word of God, that it is of my Father. See, the Father is seeking those that worship him in spirit and in truth. It was the Father back there in Genesis 24, the Master, who sent forth the servant to find the bride for his Son. It is of the Father, and I'm so grateful to God that Christ, in his complete submission to the Father, is waiting upon that moment, waiting upon that work that the Holy Ghost is doing at this time, for the Father to say, Son, she's ready, go get her. Isn't that awesome? And from the very beginning, how God laid that out. I think, again, some of the most romantic things to my heart is how detailed and how intimate and how perfect God's Word is. Not in its perfection in a sense of something that you look at afar off. I'm talking about the intimacy that it is to us and how these words in the Word of God mean everything, not just something great, but everything. But, brothers and sisters, we know that some will take it in a little more than others. But again, it's by the grace of God, we testify and preach of the evidence of Christ in us, the hope of glory. And it will be apparent, this hope of glory, in the ones that really want God's best. And that evidence, in many different ways, it comes forth. But one of the greatest evidences, I believe, is seen in those that he increases and they decrease. Praise God. That you know that they've been with Jesus. You know that they're with him always. That there is a testimony of the truth and love in their lives. So in that, brothers and sisters, as we become more like him, you know what? Jesus Christ did not waste his time, did he? It was very purpose, that life was short, obviously, and it had much to be accomplished, and God was doing a perfect work, obviously, in that submissive vessel, and praise be to God how it is finished. So in that life that lives in us, the Word of God here is encouraging us to avoid the nonsense. And you know what, brothers and sisters, I commend us in the grace of God. We're growing up. We're becoming mature sons of God. I'm thankful to the Lord. I can testify of my brethren that I know that we're avoiding the nonsense. I think of how the word of the Lord is working effectually in them that believe. It is nothing for us to feel proud about of ourselves, but thankful to the grace of God that continues to grow us up, that continues to, again, to tend upon the Lord without distraction. And I thank God how he's doing this. So as we avoid the nonsense, you know what happens? We preach the word, because the word is light, and the word brings the peace that passes all understanding. And the word, praise God, is the feed that creates the fat sheep that will be ready to be offered, just like Paul. So we thank God for that. It goes on here and it says, to avoid the genealogies and the contentions and strivings about the law, for what are they? They're unprofitable and vain. Again, don't waste time on these things, brothers and sisters. The Bible tells us to redeem the time, and we redeem the time because we don't have much time, and we don't have time to waste because Jesus is coming soon. And praise God. That time to be ready will be no more. Amen? Amen. I thank the Lord. I know He'll perform the good work which He's begun. But praise to God, I'll tell you one thing. I want to be with the Lord face to face at the beginning, praise the Lord, of the Lord's day. It's on my heart. He's placed it there. I want to see Him at the first trump. But you think of the things that it may be speaking to us of at this time in these contentions and strivings. I think of some of the things that seem to come up over and over. Remember that the devil's just a dog that returns to his own vomit. So these things are not uncommon. But so many today, that I get calls about, and sometimes people coming into the office, "Well, do you think the angels are watching over me?" I said, "My goodness." I appreciate whatever angels the Lord may use, but my mind and heart is not on the angels. My eye, and praise God, my heart is on Him. I know He's watching over me. Matter of fact, praise be to God, He's in me. And I thank the Lord that, praise God, I'm in His hand. That hand's in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck them out of my hand. So why should I be focusing or concentrating on an angel when I have the I Am? Amen? Praise God. See, He could have called 10,000 angels. I know that. But praise God, He's my shield and buckler. He's my high tower. Amen? See, these are the things that we know. And I don't want to waste time on those types of things. Again, going through these different funeral services as of late again, you hear people say, "Oh, do you think old so-and-so's looking down on us right now and all that?" No, they're not. I know those are maybe happy thoughts, but brothers and sisters, they're unprofitable and empty. They really are. I can hear the voice of my dad. I want you to know that. My dad, praise God, he's my dad. And I'm not talking about God the Father. I'm talking about my dad, John Odorcio. He raised me. I'm thankful to God. I can audibly hear that voice as I honor my father as unto the Lord. And there's things, in a sense, that He's told me. But I know He has nothing to do with me right now. And praise be to God, He's in the presence of the Lord. I'm thankful to God He's interested in that and that alone. And it'll be like that for eternity. Now, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but I'm going to preach you the truth. When your life is done here, it's done. This is done. This is over. And you're in one of two places. You're in everlasting life in the presence of the Lord, or you're in everlasting death that starts in hell and ends up in a lake of fire. And we need to know these things and thank God for it. But I know that there are thoughts that people have, but they can distract us, brothers and sisters, and then our minds can wander. And you know how kooky we can get so quickly. And we might think these things to be little. You hang around me for a week or so and you'll say, "Well, you know, brother, you got something there." Well, I'll tell you what, the Bible's always got something here, so we better listen. But that's an unprofitable and an empty thing. Now, again, oftentimes I get with those who want to argue sometimes what heaven's going to be like. Can you imagine? No, I can't imagine. And I don't want to imagine. Well, brother, what do you think is going to go on after the millennium and all those ages to come? And I said, well, the only thing I know is what the Bible tells me, and it's the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness. And it's going to be to those that'll go after the fullness of His grace right now. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's what I'm interested in. I know, praise God, that when I see Him, my faith is going to be made whole. Isn't that wonderful? My faith will be authored and finished at that time. Praise be to God. I can't really even conceive, I was thinking about, I can't conceive that transition. Because, you know, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And that's wonderful and it's awesome. And what a battle it is. But when my mortal takes on immortality, and by grace I have a body like unto His own glorious body, it will be a time only and forever of full of grace and truth and nothing else. There will be nothing else. Praise God. There will be no sin that enters in there. There will be no battle in that regard at all. I'll be like Him. And no, I can't imagine. Yea, the deep things of God by his Spirit. And here's the deep things and nothing else. It's the Word. Hallelujah. And I pray to God that we'll stay in it. But you think a life full of grace and truth. And all I could think of is what a pair. Grace and truth. Sounds pretty bridal to me. Quite a pair. I'll let you think on that and you can get back to me later. All right. Verse 10 and 11. A man that is a heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. So again, brothers and sisters, this is encouraging us to redeem the time, to make our time count. Lots of times we will try to make excuses and try to give ourselves reasons of why we're going to get bogged down with somebody that's not moving over and over. And we can try to justify in our minds. But a lot of times I found this in my life when I have bogged down in that, it was to satisfy my flesh. You know what I'm saying? People can think that you're not caring. No, I want to be about the Word of God. I know that my goodness is wickedness, and I know the only goodness that there is of the Word of God. So, with those that want to stay in false doctrine, and unfortunately it happens, and I will have to tell you, I've seen it in these past almost 8 years now of pastoring quite a bit. You know, people come in and they seem to be very sincere about searching the Scriptures and, you know, want to know this or that. And yet there's an agenda. And it's not really hidden. But you know what? I'm going to let God find that out. And if you want to search the Scriptures by God's grace, we'll go search the Scriptures with the Lord. Because he that wills to know will know. And his truth, it's light. And it doesn't contradict itself. It's very evident and it's very clear. And it is a very, 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 very narrow way. And I thank God for that. It's very tangible, isn't it? You talk about substance, that's what faith is. And I'm thankful to God that that's what we see right here. But I've had people come in and they seem so eager and we get into the Scripture and oh, there's the truth, there's the love. And my, oh my, they don't want to receive it at all. After two times, it says here, two times, you give them sufficient witness by the grace of God. If they don't want to take it, move on. And listen to that. Move on. Pass by and get going and don't waste your time. Those that want to stay in error only hurt and inflict themselves with that injury. I don't want to be hanging around there for too long to where they start inflicting me with that injury. It's not that I'm concerned about hearing it. It's just I only want to have ears for the Spirit. Amen? And what he saith to the churches. That's what by God's grace we are after. Now, sometimes people get irritated. Sometimes they'll grow into a rage. And if they want to go that way and deceive others and do those types of things, sometimes just like old Alexander, Paul had to turn him right over to Satan. You want to go that way? Satan can lead you around and he put a nice ring in your nose and he'll have you acting just like anything but a Christian. Verse 12. When I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Tychius, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Now this is such a precious verse as you allow this to just sing in your ear, here again, and in your heart. Paul so loved and needed Titus's fellowship. He loved this brother. He was a precious brother. We started off reading about how Titus really brought to Paul a wondrous comfort. And as I read about Titus, and we know that his name means nurse. Thank God he's such a graceful one, full of grace. But he was a joyous sort. You can read that about him. He was very real in the Lord. He wasn't long-faced. He wasn't, "Oh, I'm so sorry, Paul." It was right to the Word of God. "Paul, how fortunate you are to be suffering for Christ's sake." Yeah, see, Paul could get a bunch of them around him that would like to just revel in the sorrow, but here old Titus, he wanted to comfort and nurse Paul in the word of his grace, so that would be a comfort, and the comfort would be a joy in the time of sorrow. But you think about what Paul is saying here. He says, "Well, I'm going to think about two of these other brothers that I'm going to send to replace you so you can come and see me." And as I got to thinking about, he's thinking of two here, I said, Titus really must have been a double portion guy. That's something when you're talking about having to be replaced. And my goodness, we're going to have to maybe even send a couple of them. Not to, again, flatter Titus, but that was, again, that double portion life that he lived. But how Paul loved the fellowship of Titus. And here he says, "I'm going to send these two brothers," or one of these two brothers, "to relieve you," because he coveted the face-to-face fellowship. He loved that full joy fellowship that he would have with Titus. And I want to make note here of the two that he was thinking of sending to relieve him so he could fellowship with him. The first one is Artemas. And the name Artemas means safe and sound, a solid one, a speaker of truth and grace and nothing else. And then the cohort who is thinking maybe sending in with him or in place of was Tychicus in Timothy. He was the brother that was sent to Ephesus. And Tychicus means good fortune. And the reason that he was a good fortunate one is because he was fully purposed to send back to Ephesus to speak the truth and love doctrine to those full-purpose saints that were the Philadelphia saints in Ephesus. And thank God, these were some real thoroughbreds he was sending in there. These were lovers of the race. These were ones that loved to run hard. These were ones that, praise be to God, had a full joy. But I thank the Lord, again, how Paul wanted and desired to be just with Titus at this time. Now, what's very important here is where Paul and Titus were going to meet up. And you'll see that city there, which means Nicopolis. And as everything in the Word of God and its meaning, it's just beyond amazing. Nicopolis means the place of victory. And it is, it's just overwhelming how God is so in the little things. Everything means something, and it means everything. See, whenever like precious faith saints get together, it's complete victory. I thank God for that. I thank God that there's nothing but victory there. I think how precious it is that God gives us this, and we know that. There's an overcoming power, as the Word of God tells us, as we gather and we fellowship in the gospel of Christ. How he says to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as we see that day approaching. The Lord knows what we need. He's made us. Praise be to God. He knows the ministering that we need. And there is a ministering like none other in the saints. And when we are taken away from or remove ourselves from the fellowship, I always appreciated that example of it's like the little coals that you put out there to start your fire, or you set out there to, you know, get your grill going. You put them all together, and the reason you put them all together and you start igniting them is one ignites, and maybe the other might be a little cold, but because of that one that's igniting, there's another one, and my, not too long, and all of them are fiery. And they're all just burning, and they're all doing what that fire that's in them is doing. But you take a coal out of there and you go set it out by itself, it may have been burning just at the moment, just like all of those other fiery coals that were together. But you leave it over there by itself too long, and that fire goes out. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Vital to us, brothers and sisters. So important. I thank God how, again, he's blessed us with this. And again, this precious testimony that Paul was going to meet him at the place of victory. And again, and there's such depth in all of this, and not to overdo it, but look at what he says at the end of that 12th verse. I have determined there to winter. The winter speaks of the end. It's done, the finishing. And where does Paul say that he is going to spin the end? Victory. Nowhere else. And he's writing this from that prison cell and all of this pursuing to kill him. And he knows that by the grace of God, it's not too long. He's going to be offered up here soon. And all of these things are coming forth in his life. But praise the Lord, he knows that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And praise God how he wanted to winter in that place, the end of it. In the place of victory. And I pray to God, brothers and sisters, that we don't have to wait there until we think of it as old age. I pray to God that we're thinking that the Lord could be wrapping this up right now. And Lord, I don't want to be anywhere but in that place of victory. Victory is a precious place, isn't it? And we have victory in who? In Jesus. And I thank God the victory that we have now. Can you imagine the victory that we have? We have the more than conquerors through Christ who loved us victory. We have a better thing. We have exceeding great and precious promises, brothers and sisters. And the Lord encourage our hearts that this is the place by his grace where we dwell. And that place is none other than Christ in me, the hope of glory. Praise God. Praise God. This is the message. Hallelujah. The reason that Paul could preach this, the reason that Paul could profess this, is because this was established and built and layered in line upon line and precept upon precept in his life to where, praise God, here he is presented as the masterpiece to the bridegroom. And I thank God for this. See, this is that pattern. This is that perfect pattern, brothers and sisters. Follow me as I follow Christ. And it is very clear, isn't it? It's very simple. And I thank the Lord as we know, because see, his word is true. And as we go this way, as we follow Paul as he followed Christ. And I'm not talking about gathering just to gather. You know that if you gather just to gather, you're not going to get anything out of that. But if you gather in the fellowship of the gospel of Christ, if our fellowship truly is in the rejoicing, as Paul's rejoicing here was with Titus, in the place of victory, there's nothing like it. Praise the Lord. I don't like to use the word feeling, but there's no better feeling I get than coming to church. Than hearing the word of God, than being around brothers and sisters of like precious faith. You've heard me refer to this. This is our 45 minutes of reality. It's the truth, isn't it? And isn't it amazing how the Lord just captivates our thoughts, especially, I pray, at this time, that he brings us into this communion with him, this unity of the Spirit, this bond of peace and perfectness, because that's his word. That's what it always accomplishes in them that believe. It works effectually, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. And I thank God how it does it time and time again. Now, verse 13. He says, bring Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. Now, I love the word of God so much, and again, the precious detail here. But Zenas is a Jewish lawyer. Nothing's hard for God. That's all I can say, is nothing is hard for God. And I thank the Lord. How, you know, why did he have to tell us this? Because he had to tell you. He knows the day and the age that we live in. We know that God's precious creation, and truly precious creation in man, and God's peculiar people, and especially God's earthly people. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's so beautiful. It's wonderful. Because the evidence is that God is real. His word is true. He's made us these precious vessels. Praise be to God. And let me tell you something. Whether it's the Christian that's sleeping, God said exactly how they would be. Whether it's the Christian that's on fire and loving the appearing of the Lord, God said this is how they would be. The sinner can't help but do what God said the sinner would do. Amen? And this is how it is. But I thank the Lord, as it says, not many mighty, not many wise. And I thank God it didn't say not any mighty and not any wise. As he took the tax collectors and he took the doctors and he took the different ones. And here he is even showing us that in the fellowship of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus doctrine, here is a Jewish attorney. Praise the Lord. Lord, thou knowest. Amen. Preach the word. Plant wider water. You don't know who he's going to bring in. They never thought or even had an unction at all that Saul was going to be the one that was the chosen vessel unto God. They had written him off. You know it. Man, that was the guy that was going in and dragging us out to have us killed. And as Paul said, yep, the chief is sinner. From the guttermost to the uttermost. Hallelujah. And that's how the Lord does it. This is precious, brothers and sisters. And let this just sing to you. You know, this world tries to throw people at us that are, oh, this one's too wicked and that. And I was with a man the other day, and he still has not accepted Christ. And he was going after these different ones. Well, he was talking about this one that had taken that little girl and did whatever he did and killed her and all, and maybe they found him today, and understand it's a 17-year-old person. And my heart just breaks, but he was just saying, well, that, you know, there's no way a God could ever, you know, that's evil. So, yep, I know God exists, and that's the guy that's going to go to hell. Well, I don't know that, and I hope and pray to God that if this young man doesn't know the Lord somehow, some way, the Lord is ready to reveal himself to him. And I'm not saying that just to be a good Christian. Because in myself, I could never be a good Christian. I say that because that's the precious grace and love of God. So, I just know that God can do anything. And he was the one that sent his son. And let me tell you something, that Jesus, he turned the world upside down. And he'll turn you on your head over and over. And I'm learning that spinning, praise be to God, is his waltz with me and his dance and how he spins me around, and I thank God how he does it. But he's a wonderful, loving Savior, and let's be encouraged and let's live by faith, and that faith is this precious word of God. But Zenas here, the word means, his name means, I should say, a father of helps. Zenas, again, being this Jew who was converted to Christianity, and praise be to God for that. But now notice who's with him, old Apollos. What company, I was thinking here, that the Lord graced Titus with, and thinking how precious that God blessed sweet Titus at this time. Let me tell you something. This was a very scary time to be a Christian. This was a time when a lot of people didn't want to keep company with a Titus. It wasn't good for your health. Matter of fact, a lot of times you would die because they would seek out to kill you. And here God, in his rich mercy, gave him these ones of like precious faith. Do you see this pattern again over and over in Timothy and Titus? This wasn't just any fellowship. This wasn't, let's just get all the churches around here together in fellowship. This was very specific fellowship. This was the fellowship of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And there weren't many. There were a few, a handful. And praise be to God that that Paul and that love loved that fellowship. He coveted that fellowship. He would only be comforted by the grace of God with that fellowship. And how the Lord so graced him to have that fellowship. But as we close out on this verse 13, think of the threesome here that Paul requests. He has Zenas, he has Titus, and he has Apollos. And as a brother was saying to me the other day, isn't it precious, the threes and all the threes that keep coming up in the Word of God? Well, you just heard that Zenas, that name right there means the father of helps. And then you have Titus, that nurse, full of grace and truth. Praise God, so Christ-like. And none other than Apollos, the one so mighty, spirit-filled, powerful with the Holy Ghost. And I think of how precious Paul. What did he want? He wanted all the fullness of God. Always desired that, brothers and sisters. Always wanted to have that just cascading in his life and that fellowship of the Trinity and nothing else. Thanks be to God. And then as it says here too in that verse, which I think is another precious thing, Paul, even in this state of being rejected, Paul, even in this state of being hunted down and whether he would be imprisoned or whatever, he was always looking to the need of others as opposed to the need of himself. He was always looking to encourage and assist others, and not just any others. He wasn't out there to feed the world. He wasn't out there to change the political scene. He wasn't trying to make the world a better place. He was trying to get ones ready for the place in the midst of the throne to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. That's what he was concerned with. And these brethren that preached that gospel, Paul encouraged, you do whatever you can for them. Feed them, give them the things that they need by God's grace. Now we know that the Lord will take care of it. But if the Lord uses you, go out, show them love. Let them know how much you appreciate them. Bring them together and encourage one another in the high calling of God in Christ Jesus doctrine. Amen? Isn't that precious that God has called us to that in this place? You think of the ones, and I'm so grateful to God to have fellowship this past couple days, and not to magnify the vessel, but to magnify, praise be to God, that gospel, that dispensation, those that love the message of Jesus and his wife. And I love to say, yes, a Brother Heinz and a Brother Hawkins and their families and many others that fellowship in that. I thank God for those that stand and withstand and having done all, stand. It's not a popular way. It's not a popular doctrine. You know that. People come in here that seem to be excited about it. And I've heard it many times just in the short time the Lord has called me to be a pastor. Oh, brother. This has got to be put on the radio. You need to be on TV. Everybody needs to hear this. And most of the ones that say that and see that and just are so excited about it, I have to tell you, aren't here anymore. Saddest thing to my heart. Thanks be to God that it was enlightened. But praise the Lord, I want it enlightened. And I want it illuminated in me. Praise God. More light, more light, more light, more light. Praise the Lord. All right. So we thank God for that testimony. And you understand, again, this wasn't just trying to do good deeds. This was specifically for the furtherance of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus gospel. Praise his name. All right, verse 14. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Now, once again here, and this has been brought out many times, especially here in Titus, about the evidence of true faith in our lives, brothers and sisters. And the evidence of true faith in your life and in my life will bring forth the fruit of good works. It's evidence. As we go with God, God will work in us. He'll cause us to will and to do of His good pleasure. I do not want to be someone who knows the truth and walks around like a stone face. I'm not trying to put a smile on. I'm not trying to be happy. If I'm trying to be happy, I haven't received the good news. You receive good news, you are happy. Praise God, I received the good news that Jesus Christ, praise God, His Father is looking for a wife, and you know what? He wants it to be me. That's good news. I'm happy about that. Not just a candidate, praise God, but I'm called and chosen. Just allow Him that work of grace in my life. I've got it all. Just let it grow up, Jesse. And you'll be like me. And you'll be ready. And by the way, here's the comforter. Here's the very power of my might that's going to do it all for me. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. We do have it made. We have it made in Jesus. And I thank God how complete He is. Hallelujah. And how, again, the all-sufficiency is to us in our precious Lord and Savior. But see, this evidence of good works, brothers and sisters, it is vital. Oftentimes you've heard me say, and you know this in your own lives, people, yes, they listen to the words and things that you would speak. I do believe out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. I pray that we would have a mouth that would speak the lovely things of His truth and grace. But oftentimes, it's not in our speech, it's in our actions. And not just in actions of helping others, but a lot of times when we're going through very difficult things, very heart-wrenching and heartbreaking things, how we respond to adversity, those are the greatest testimonies to many people throughout our lives, isn't it? When we have loved ones that are afflicted or hurt, or when we ourselves become sick or things of that nature, and God gives us grace, and yes, He does give us grace, to be a testimony. I thank God how I've heard of the different ones that have went to see doctors at this time, and you know, they might have a cancer, they might have these different things, and they walk in the office, and the doctors almost think that they need to give them something because they're losing their mind. How could you be happy in that state? And I remember one of the sisters here recently, well, I'll just tell you what, if it accelerates my time and it makes it sooner that I see my Lord and Savior, I'm a happy person. And they just thought, well, what a kook, we've got to get him into the psychiatrist now or something. But see, this is how it is, brothers and sisters. We know that nothing's hard for God. We know that if the Lord wants to, and His desire is to heal us, He is the Lord thy God that healeth all our diseases. I mean, that's fact. Do you know that? I mean, that's beyond fact. I don't even like to use the word fact when you're talking about God, but that's truth. There's nothing hard for Him. By His stripes, we are healed. I know that. And I am thankful to God for that. And I count Him. I count Him. He's faithful. So God help us to be unmoved in who He is. Not in what I believe, but in who He is. So, our testimony, brothers and sisters, is one of the most vital parts of our ministry, and especially of the bridal message. Our testimony, the evidence of good works, is so rich and profitable when we completely yield to God. When we yield to God, not only do we become, I will just say it this way. When we yield to God, we become the men and women of God we never thought, knew, or even imagined we could ever be, because that's what God does. We are changed from glory to glory into His image, as the Word of God says. And if you are in His image, my goodness, that's the Word. So I can imagine that we begin to be epistles read of men. Amen. That's right. And that's why, I'll tell you what, as you go on with God, and I'm talking about in truth and love, you go on with God, you don't become more rigid and judgmental and ugly and condemning and you know what I'm talking about, that and bitter. That has nothing to do with God. That has everything to do with the devil. And know that. And I'm not ashamed to say that. That's not our Christ. He's full of grace and truth. Praise the Lord. But as we go on in that, brothers and sisters, you're going to find that people will not be neutral with you. You may have had a life where people were very neutral with you. Well, they didn't care one way or the other. You get on fire for God, and neutral they cannot be. They will hate you, the ones that will go over with that. And there might even be Christians that hate that going on with God and try to reject that and try to hurt you and inflict pain and wounds. Isn't that what we've read and studied through 1 and 2 Timothy and even Titus with Brother Paul? Many of these that had done him such harm had started out with him. We read of Alexander and we saw that he was there witnessing and they were even going to get him at the very beginning because he stood with Paul. You can put that together and know that. But he had so turned against it. But for the grace of God, there go I. Yes, we know these things. So, brothers and sisters, may we be those vessels to the praise and the glory of His grace. A vessel that truly adds to the usefulness of the husband. See, this precious story of this wife, he so loves her. He gives her everything throughout this word of God, whether it's the Shulamite, whether it's Esther, whether it's Ruth, all of those different things. But if you notice one thing that's so constant and so the same about all of those precious wives, their praise and their glory was always their husband. It was never themselves. They sang about him. They rejoiced in him. The headship was everything that she was. She took on everything of him. And praise be to God in that. She was his glory. She loved him. She rejoiced. As I have told you a few times, and Mom's not here, so I can tell you a little bit. But I always so was encouraged, especially as the Lord began to woo my heart. I remember that one time she was sitting there and just looking and touching an envelope where it said Mrs. John O'Dorcio. And she was touching that name and touching it. And I said, Mama, what are you doing? She said, oh, I love his name. Do you love that name of Jesus? Do you love that bridegroom name? See, that bridegroom's written on her, huh? Oh, we know that. But see, that's being attacked so much today. I gotta be me. I gotta be known. Men and women not taking their places in this day and age. God help us. God help us to let Him be magnified. So, brothers and sisters, it's fruit, fruit, and more fruit. And that's what the husbandman desires, that we would be the readied wife, that precious fruit of him. And we'll finish up in verse 15. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. Isn't that something? All that are with me salute thee. Paul might have only been able to count on one hand all that were with him at that time. But I think he's got a little band in here tonight that I could raise my hand and I could say, by the grace of God, I salute that faith and love in Titus. Amen? I salute that faith and love in many of my brethren that have gone to be with the Lord, that I know it's of the Father to give, but remember we talked about that evidence of like him. I've known a few that were like him. And I salute them with Paul. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful how alive this is? See, they that are with me, and praise be to God, I'm with Paul as he was with Christ. I'm not ashamed of that gospel of Christ. That's what it is. And I salute thee. Greet them that love us. Isn't that something? Listen to that verse. All they that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. It's getting pretty exclusive, isn't it? most don't want to go that way. You can have that group. But that's the group that goes unto him without the camp. Those are the ones that suffer together with Jesus Christ. Those are the ones that endure the hardness as good soldiers. But you see, if you are with Paul, there's one thing you'll always have, and that's love. If you're with Paul, if you follow Paul as he followed Christ, the one thing you'll always have is love. If you have no love, you're not with Paul. You're not bridal. And this is very clear to the light. And you greet in faith. Isn't that interesting? Not that you greet in love those in faith, but it's different here. You greet in faith those that love us. See, those that love you greet in faith. See, ones that don't have this love don't share the faith that is in Paul. And the faith that Paul is speaking of here. And brothers and sisters, we can't always enter into that high calling of God in Christ Jesus fellowship with just anybody. They have to have that love. We can try as much as we want, but we're not going to be unequally yoked together. It doesn't work that way. He's loves us with a godly jealousy. Now, I'm not talking about not fellowshipping with people. You know what you know better than that. But this is talking about that intimate fellowship. We're talking about the yoke fellows, the bondsmen. We're talking about that bridal fellowship. Amen? I want to, as it says, you pray for all men. I pray that I'd have a heart like God. God so loved the world that he gave. I want all men to be saved. I do. I want people to know Jesus. But we're talking about fellowship here. And yes, I have some fellowship with other Christians. Don't get me wrong. I love them. I think it's wonderful. But the ones I want to sup with, here it is. And the ones that want to sup with me, probably here it is. Oh, they might think you're grand for a certain amount of time, but boy, you start talking a little bit and going into the love of Paul's gospel. Those that want to play around will flee. And it hurts. And it's not that we're trying to be divisive. It's not that you're trying to be arrogant in anything at all. It's just that you're in love. And I always kind of remembered when my fiance moved out to Denver. See, all my friends, and we could all be together when my wife-to-be lived out of town. And, you know, because she wasn't there, so we could go and have and do this and all that. But, man, once she was in town, if she was that close enough to be with, I was going to be with her. And you wanted to be with me, I'm going to be with her. So they would be with me, with her for a little while. But after a while, I was like, well, man, you're no fun to be with. You're just with her. You know what I mean? But see, God even transcends that in a way that we're one when we're together with him in that regard. And so, yeah, we can be together with him, and yet we're one with him. And my mind just blew up, and I can't explain it anymore, but I think you get it. He's amazing, isn't he? He gives us little types, but don't ever even try to make that type an imagination of what it is. Because eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the hearts of men what God has prepared for them that love him. And I'll tell you what, I love him by grace, growing into loving him in his appearing. So what he has for that, it's the exceeding riches of his grace. So he says at the end, grace be with you all. And how true that is. Because nothing else will ever grow us up into Him in all things. And I thank God in all of these letters as Paul ends, and especially in this Titus, how personal it is. Most everyone is just grace be with you. But I think there's a little encouragement to all. Grace be with you all. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and be dismissed.